This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.
Woman was in there with her CNI dog?
No.
Oh, Pete, we heard this commotion over there, and the woman was over there, and her dog was up on top of the counter. They had a 50% off thing or whatever it is, and the dog was just scratching like that on those clothes and all. And the manager heard all this commotion and went over to her and he said, seen the dog up there just scratching the clothes and throwing them off there. He said, what's going on here? You want to sell? It's okay, we're just looking. Yeah. Hey, Papa.
Hey.
Papa's here.
How you doing,
buddy? Bill tries to pick something, which is... I done it forever. A small motor, anything.
Yeah. How's my body?
If it's broke.
I know him. I know,
when he gets done with it, it's more.
Has a nice
more
broke.
Oh, that's okay. I was telling Pete I had a bad fall last night, but I'm doing okay.
Ooh.
Hey, Dr. Rich.
Hello,
Ron. Yeah.
I thought I broke something. I really did.
I'll do that.
10 minutes.
I was wondering, Papa, down to say, how'd you like your trip? See you next fall.
I did that. I was sitting down in the shower.
Papa had everything good.
I mean, I went down and I thought, oh
not
my
bad.
God, I broke the knee, you know.
Not
bad.
Well, campers, you about ready to start on this?
I'm ready.
Okay.
You heard Pee Wee.
We're going to be in Romans 5.
And also, if you want to get right to open in prayer, cover John. Ruth called said he had his fever went back up to 100 and something.
Three.
103. And they,
I thought he was getting better.
Okay. And they got, what it got in, line, drain line?
They have a stent in one of his tubes. You know, because you have two tubes, one goes into the gallbladder, one goes into the liver. So they put a stent in there to cope because he's got stones in there blocking
the liver.
And they said it might cause an infection, and that's why, and they said watch for a fever.
Yeah.
So they shipped him back up to Philadelphia.
Yeah, they took me to Dover, and Dover shipped me up to Philly.
Yeah. Mm. So she said, keep him in prayer.
All right.
Yeah. Now we're ready for you.
Huh?
Now we're ready for you.
Okay, so we gotta lift up John and who's the other one?
Betty.
Okay. No, I thought you said somebody else. Okay, nope, all right.
I did, I said Betty.
Okay. Father, we thank you for drawing us all together, for filling us with your word. Father, for opening the word up to us that we can each grow in it and live it and do the things that you would have us to do. And Father, we lift up Betty and John and their families and loved ones and all any others who may be sick or hurting. Father, we lift up Earl too and Pete and Loey and Ron and all those families, Father.
Nolan.
Nolan, that's right. Nolan too. And Christine and all of mine too. Father, we thank you for healing them. Father, we know that you are the great creator.
Yes.
And if you're the creator, you're the healer. You can fix anything you make. And Father, we receive it in Jesus' name. That these families are whole, that these people are whole and healthy and healed and wise in the things that they do and prosperous in the things that we do. And Father, we thank you. And we lift up the whole Church of Christ. Father, we know that we are the head and not the behind, and we are above and not below. And we thank you, Father, that we walk in prosperity and health and healing and the anointing of Christ in the things that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay. So we're in
Romans.
Chapter 5, we'll start verse 1. And,
Chapter 5?
Yes.
Yeah, chapter 5.
Yeah, it was hard to figure out this Bible. It's a little different.
Yeah.
It took me a while.
That's my first one, yeah.
You see the big 5, and that's why you'll know it's chapter 5.
Yeah, 5. So.
Okay, everybody ready? Okay, therefore, since we are justified or acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to the whole and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also we have our access by faith into this grace or favor in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope and experiencing the joy of the enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our suffering, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance, and endurance or fortitude develops maturity of character, and character produces joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, you know, it's interesting, some of the things we've been talking about so far tonight, you know, all of these afflictions and things, you know, various ailments that various people have and all this stuff. And when you look back at various jobs that people have had and all the conflicts and all that people have had in jobs and stuff, by standing up for Christ in those areas and by having faith that Christ will pull us through, we show ourselves separate from the world, because the world doesn't depend on Christ at all, right? And in doing so, those afflictions, see, a lot of people call them tests and lots of other names, but whatever you call it, those afflictions or tests or persecutions or whatever you want to call it, by standing for Christ and not allowing them to get us down, ensures that we get up. You know, because it says it right here. It says, moreover, let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. Right? When you look at people like Pete, who's had, how many operations did you say you had?
Oh, way over 30.
Too many.
Way over 30.
Yeah, one of them's okay. Too many in there.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? So those kinds of things really do make you stable in Christ, because by enduring that and by having victory over it, because you certainly feel better than you did before, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And by doing that, you are demonstrating your faith in Christ to get you through it, right? That we pray for healing and all, and sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. But that doesn't mean we don't have faith that Christ can get us through and will heal us eventually. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice when you get a miracle healing, someone's healed immediately, but sometimes that doesn't happen. But that doesn't mean that Christ isn't actively working in the situation to make you healthy.
Just like Paul, right?
That's right.
He prayed that God take the affliction away, and God told him no.
That's right. And because of that, he grew and grew. When you look at Paul and all of the trips and all of the disasters that he lived through, and the number of times he was stoned and all of that stuff, see, all of those little persecutions and afflictions that he had help strengthen him for the bigger and bigger ones.
Well, it said it's a tribulation worked in patience, and patience experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed, but it's the love of God shed abroad. It helps you to grow if you like it or not.
That's right.
You know, it's just like when kids get disciplined when they're young.
Yep.
Oh, they'll hate your parents right away for spanking them or whatever.
Yep.
But then when they're grown up and all, then they see other kids that's not disciplined and all, they don't want to be around them.
That's right.
They said, boy, I used to think that was really bad when mom and dad spanked me and whatever. Yep. And said, but, you know, the older the kid gets, the smarter the parent gets after the 21.
Yeah.
But up to then, the parent's pretty stupid in the kid's eyes. So once the kids say, You know, I could never got here without my parents.
That's right.
I'm glad my parents made me study. I'm glad my parents made me go to school.
Right.
Glad my parents straightened me out and kept me on the straight and narrow. Because now when you see a drunk and alcoholic, you say, well, they're by the grace of God, go I.
That's absolutely right.
That's what you don't have nowadays. The parents are not doing that like
no.
our parents
that's
right.
do us.
No.
That's right. Kids are raising kids.
Kids are raising kids.
They need to get them.
That's right. That's stupid, isn't it?
And they know it.
How are you going to
discipline
them? Yeah.
They need mothers like your mother and my mom, girl, put them in a van, let them go and do ride by.
I got to rent them almost every day, but I need it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you earned it.
I was a little under.
That's right. But you became a much better person as an adult because you went through that, and your mom and dad were good enough to you to discipline you.
Well, I didn't have a father, but my mother was.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
But she took care of you. She made sure you grew up right.
She's quite a woman.
Yeah.
And she can spank you just as good for two.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, I mean, that's why you go through trials and tribulations, so that you learn from them. You know, people talk about the School of Hard Knocks. You know,
I graduated from there.
Yeah, the tuition's high, but you learn a lot.
Yeah,
you know? Do.
That's what I always say.
Okay, Ron, you want to take 6 through 10, please?
For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Okay.
His only.
Yeah. So what are we talking about? In verse 6 it says, "For while we were yet weakness, and that weakness came because we weren't matured yet, right? What he was just talking about was being matured, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through our afflictions and persecutions and all the rest of this stuff, we matured and became strong. So now he's talking back before then, and he says, while we were yet in weakness, powerless in our own, to help ourselves, at the fitting time, Christ died for in behalf of the ungodly. See, this is Paul talking back before the time when, before Paul was born. In 7 it says, and now it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life even for the upright man, though perhaps for a noble or lovable or generous benefactor, someone might even dare to die. So it's one thing to think that someone who of real high esteem, someone would die for that person because they've done so much good. But Christ died for everyone, no matter how bad we were. We needed him. Right?
Yeah.
And we would all be up the creek.
Well, he didn't die for the righteous.
That's right.
He died for the sinner.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's people that hated him.
Yep.
And he died for them. Would you die for somebody who hates you?
I can't understand why people would hate him at that time. Really.
I don't either.
He's done nothing
but good.
You read that, didn't you? But I just can't understand that.
Everything is evident that Christ done nothing but good.
Yeah, but we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers of darkness, right?
Jealousy.
So it's the influence of the devil.
Yeah, I think that's what
jealousy.
I think jealousy. I think you're right.
Jealousy and all that other stuff. But those are all, see, all of that jealousy and hate and anger and all that stuff, where does that come from?
Well, yeah, same thing right now, really, I guess you think about
right?
it.
Same
oh, yeah.
Way. And who's the king of the flesh? Satan.
Yeah. Satan.
Right?
Yeah.
So it all comes through the flesh.
But it's just hard in the,
yep.
in the natural
that's
to say,
right.
wait a minute, he would have done the same thing for you, he'd help you,
yep.
and he'll help you today.
Yep.
Why do you hate him?
Yep. After all the good things he's
yeah,
done.
I mean, why are people mad at Christ when he does nothing but good for you?
That's right.
What are mad at him about? How can you get mad at him if
yep.
you have any knowledge of him at all?
That's right. I don't know. It's something. You know, when we look back at our own selves and when we got saved, I was 27 when I got saved. You know, you look back and think, who is that Gladys's husband.
Don,
who used to say...
35 years she prayed for him.
35 years she prayed for him. And once he got saved, he couldn't understand how nobody could get saved.
Why people would want to get saved. So why wouldn't everybody want to get saved? This is great. This is good. And he started witnessing people, and they, what's the matter with you? You know, and he couldn't understand it. Yeah. And so he said, well, ask Gladys. You know, ask your wife. She prayed for you for 35 years. Well, you acted like that.
Yeah, that's it. But people just don't realize. It just doesn't sink in.
Right.
That's all right. God can get them. So, 9, therefore, since we are now justified by Christ's blood, how much more we shall be saved by him from the iniquities, from the indignation and wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, it is much more now that we are reconciled, that we shall be saved through his resurrection life. Wow.
Yeah,
so it's only because Christ came and died for us and was resurrected that we have this access to the kingdom of God, the benefits of God, the love of God, all of this stuff. Of course, love of God is given unto everybody all the time. It's just that we now accept it and receive it.
Yeah.
We just don't accept it.
That's yeah, right. That's right.
It's so easy. It's all you have to do is just accept it.
Don't accept it.
What's wrong with being a good person?
Yeah.
What you see is like Gladys used to come here. Her and her husband passed away now. But if she couldn't get her husband to come, then after he come, like we're saying, then he couldn't understand why everybody wouldn't want to get saved. Why wouldn't you want to accept it? Why, if you, I believe a lot of times people don't want to accept it because they see the way that Christian lives. And they say, if that's a Christian, I'm not sure I want that. A lot of them is under some kind of bondage.
I think Pop Bear hit it right on the head when he said jealousy.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think he hit it right on the head.
And a lot of times, too, in a lot of churches and politics.
Because I've heard people say, well, I'm just as good as him. Why? Yeah. You don't really need to say that.
No.
Yeah.
I used to have him say to me, he said, well, you think you're better than I am. I said, well, I am. Yeah. I used to tell him that I am. I said, because I'm a Christian, I am better than you. I said, but you can be just as good as me. You can be a Christian too. Yeah. I mean, all the righteous people that's going to heaven is a whole lot better than the people that's unrighteous that's going to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's amazing. I was telling Pat, older couples can come down sale and they meet, you know, they come to my table. And so we started talking about the Lord, and they were raised Catholic, but like she said, politics. Yep.
And Baby was raised Catholic.
And
politics.
I told her I was raised Catholic. And I said to her,
a lot of good Catholics out there.
Anyhow, I was telling her about, her husband's been ill, and I said, you know, he could be healed, and we started talking. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday
or yesterday, one or the other.
Yeah, I keep my days mixed up. Anyhow, she came to sale and I gave her this pamphlet to go to the church.
That's why I don't sit by.
And get healed for prayer for her husband. And we were talking and I was really surprised. I told her, I says, I'm for gospel. And she says, you are. And I says, yeah. I says, and I even speaking in tongues and all that. And she says, I do too. And I says, okay. And we were really set there.
Yeah.
But she was so excited. And I was telling her, I says, you know, there shouldn't be any political stuff. I said that if you just teach the word and experience God's love.
Yeah.
You just feel the love. And they just hugged me and everything like that. And they were so happy that there was somebody that was telling them to go to a church where they're going to feel that love.
That's right.
And, because I want to see people grow and fellowship and just,
It ain't what building you go to. What's being on a building is what's being taught inside.
Jesus prayed on the tree.
Yep.
Yeah, because they said they went to many churches
on the tree,
and it was all politics and political stuff. Clicks,
And he told the woman at the well, he says, "Lady, the time is coming and now is where they'll worship me in the mountains."
Yeah.
That's right.
They need to build it.
That's right.
Paul went around teaching everybody's houses. He taught in his own house for the space of 2 years. Running his own house.
That's right. Paid for it himself.
Yep.
That's right. Because that's why it's so important for every one of us to live what we believe.
Just try to live right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Walk the walk, not just talk the
and,
talk.
And you know what's right? It's right here.
The old golden rule. The old golden rule is the master rule.
Yep. So it's really that simple. A lot of people make it too complicated. They really do.
That's true. That is true. It is simple.
Simple things. Doing to others as you would have them do to you. You know? It's amazing. People just can't even get their heads and their bodies around that.
No.
You know?
No.
You know? When you're kind to somebody, they don't know how to handle that.
He had a friend, you're going to laugh at this. I had a friend that asked me, he says, I heard you going to Bible study on Wednesday night. So I said, yeah. He said, where you go? And I said, close friend of mine, like Hazelville. He said, what are you doing that for? Are you getting ready to die?
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Y'all say, yeah, I am getting ready. I am getting ready.
Well, I said, I'm 75 years old. Yeah, one of these days I'm going to leave here. Yeah. But I had a laugh. He says, well, yeah, you can ready
as serious
die.
As a heart attack.
Yeah. He was just as serious as could be.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, he was just as serious as could be. He says, you getting ready to die? Yeah. I laughed. I thought I was
funny. Dad said, come with me sometime. Yeah. Dad said, come with me. He said, you can find out. We can laugh. We can talk. We can enjoy ourselves.
But that's why he says, you getting ready to die. This is serious as a heart attack. I'm going to tell you.
You'll say, yeah, I am getting ready.
Yeah, someday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, right, but what you said, there's a lot of truth in what you said, in that we all are getting ready to die.
Yeah,
because someday we all do die.
From the day we're born.
Right. Yeah.
That's right. From the day you're born,
you start dying.
You start dying.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And it's only because you prepare now that when it actually happens, whenever that is, right, that you're really ready.
First thing nature does when you're born, sets the clock.
That's right.
Right? When the clock goes off.
That's what I mean. People think, you know, that they go on and sin and live like the world because they figure they got a long time. But you never know.
You don't.
You don't know anymore.
Oh, boy.
Like I told Peter, I said, you can walk in the ball, but they're blowing things up. Get shot like that one guy got mad at that dance place. He went in there with a
AK-47.
And that didn't say how many people he shot. But he just went in.
And sure spread it.
I told
this one woman she smokes a lot. I said, and I told her, I said, you shouldn't be smoking. I said, you're killing yourself. She said, oh, I call Bobby. I said, you can wake up dead one of these mornings.
And she said,
she said, what do you mean? I said, just what I said.
Yeah, you can wake up gone.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all over.
Yeah. She thought like a thing. I think she I'm not sure. I think she did pass away that day.
Well, I hope she was ready. Okay. Pete, I think we're down to, what is it, 11 now?
Yes.
All right.
And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be did, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abound unto many.
Okay. So, why was the law given?
To show you where you're wrong.
Where we're sinning,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The law established right and wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
God said, you know, and it was like, you know, God said, right, this is right, that's wrong. Right? Mm-hmm. This is how you're supposed to do it, this is how you're not supposed to do it. So, in doing that, he said, this is sin and this is not sin. So, if God's the one who establishes what is sin and what is not,
he has every right to judge you.
He gives him the right to judge you, right? And since one way or the other, God's going to judge you, right? One way or the other, someday, you're going to give an account to God. So, why wouldn't you spend time in the manual finding out what's right and wrong? Right? I mean, he gives us a book. You know, it's funny thing about the Bible, and people talk about all the tests of the Bible and everything. The funny thing about that is that it's an open book test. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can read it any time and find out answer to the question. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone came up to you all of a sudden, just out of the blue, and said, okay, this is a test, Rod, what's the square root of 647,000? Right? You wouldn't know. I don't know.
126,000.5.
I have no idea.
Do you know how to do that?
No.
Okay.
Anyhow, most people wouldn't have the answer, though, right? I think so, too. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is. But, see, that's a test that there's no open book, so you don't know what the answer is, right?
You know, I had a dream the other night that I had passed away.
Okay.
And I got up to the pearly gates, and the man sat there, Earl, he said, give me a piece of chalk. He said, Earl, you climb this ladder, and going up, and mark all the wrong things you've done in life. I said, okay. So I was climbing it, and I was marking up. I got a pretty good ways up the ladder, and I was marking up. All of a sudden, I found something. Hit me on the hand. I looked up and here come Pete down. I said, where are you going, Pete? He said, get some more chalk.
So hold on. I get a box. I get a box of chalk.
How's that, Pete?
That's good. That is
good.
I like that.
One for all.
Yeah. I think that word when you find it. Oh, I heard 8 years and years.
Yeah, that's an old one, isn't it? That's an old one.
Wow. But in Pete's case, it still applies.
Yeah.
It's still a good one, though, isn't it?
Exactly. Change the name, protect the guilty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I better watch myself now. He'd be on me.
Oh, I'll think so.
Yeah. So, okay.
But like this, you're talking about, like, in Moses, God gave him the Ten Commandments.
That's it.
To live by.
Yep.
And if they lived by the Ten Commandments, they would be just as righteous as anybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
The center rule.
That's right.
Well, so, yeah, that's what he's saying in verse 14. So, nevertheless, death, people still died from Adam to Moses. And said, even over them, that had not sinned, the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come, talking about Christ. So he said, those people, even before the law, people lived and died since Adam. He said, but after Abraham, up to Moses, there wasn't no law. Abraham was living by faith. He said, but then God said, look, Moses, here's a tablet, a stone.
Yep.
You take this down, show it on people. Thys or those thys shall not. And even when he was doing that for his people, they're down there making a golden calf.
That's right.
The jewelry they just got from Egypt.
That's it.
So they need that Ten Commandments bad.
Yeah. That's probably why I stopped at the writing. So, you know, these people need something that they can look at, you know. And that what he's done basically with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
God anointed the writing of the Bible, right?
Same thing.
So the people have it right there. You look at it, right? Now it's on the internet and every place else.
But you know what was sad though, Phil? It's when they said, oh, it's just a book. You believe everything? It's just a book. Man wrote that book.
Yeah.
You know, not and
it's a lot of memory.
And I said, what is the matter with, you know, these people anymore?
A lot of memory.
Now, to want it, it's just a book.
Yeah.
And I said, you believe everything is in that book? And I said,
someplace.
Yes,
yep.
I do.
Yep.
They had to get it from someplace.
Oh, yeah.
It's inspired by God.
Yep.
That's what it says.
You know what?
Every scripture.
You don't believe that the Bible's written by God, inspired by God? Then how can you see Genesis 1, the whole thing there, laid out in order, correct, how would those people back in those days know the order of the creation and all the rest of that stuff? Even if you don't agree on 7-day or long periods of time or whatever, that all aside, If you just simply look at the order that things were done in.
The harmony of it.
Well, same and the thing harmony with, of it. With the, what was you saying with the space program? When they, that day that stood still?
Yeah.
And that the NASA had to figure that out. And, you know, they found the answer in the Bible.
They couldn't get to the moon without it. And they had to go back to where the sun was stopped. Yep. By the degree, so how to turn the spaceship.
Yeah.
And that's true. And I mean,
to find out how to get to the moon, they had to go here.
Yeah.
The
and back in Ezekiel, when everybody used to think you're going to fall
that's
off.
That's right, they did do that. I remember reading about that.
Yep.
They did do that, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, that's a thing you could tell somebody don't believe in the Bible. Just,
yeah.
Well, so do you believe in airspace travel? And then you just tell them that.
They couldn't get there without it.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, I forgot all about
they
that.
They would have missed the moon by so many degrees. I mean, they'd have been out in space by nowhere close.
Yeah. Yep. But see, all of those things, they're all things that God has done that you can't revoke, because, I mean, it's well documented how old the Bible is.
Right.
So and when you think about how old the Bible is, you know that way back in those days, they couldn't have possibly have known the order that but through the science of back in those days, they couldn't possibly have known the order that everything was done in. God had to tell them, and they wrote it down the way God told them to.
I believe that.
And that in itself verifies that God, the Creator, told them the order that He used when He created.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was the Russians that came up with that first, because they had Jews that told them, went back and said, well, the sun stood still so they could finish this battle, and it stood still this long, and they figured it out from, because they got to the moon before we did. Not land a man on the moon, but they sent an instrument there, and they couldn't get it there without. Now, I'm pretty sure it was the Jew that told the Russians, and they figured out their scientists.
And they don't believe in the Bible.
The Jews or
no,
the Russians?
Russians.
No.
They didn't believe that.
But you know, Khrushchev could quote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John by heart, and his son said, "Yeah, he was a Christian. So he was arrogant, but he was a Christian."
He was not a bad leader, really.
Not for Russia.
Yeah. No. I mean, if you compare him to some of the other Russian leaders, he was...
There were
some bad ones.
Yeah.
Okay, but that took us down to 15, right?
So it took us to 16.
Well, okay, 16 is where we start. 16 through 20, pop up.
And the gift?
21, yep.
And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, with much more than those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. And the gift of righteousness will remain in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay. So who paid the price for us?
Jesus.
Jesus paid the price, right?
If you let him.
That's right.
If not, you're going to pay the price.
You have to, and the way we get in on that benefit is we receive Christ. We go before Christ and we repent and we ask Him into our hearts. That's
if
salvation.
You
right?
If you don't receive Christ, you're going to pay the penalty.
That's right. You pay your own penalty then, mm-hmm. right? And let me tell you something. That
penalty lasts forever.
That penalty lasts forever. Jesus paid the price for the whole world in 3 days in hell. Right? How long are sinners in hell?
Eternity.
For eternity. So, if you pay for your If Jesus paid for the price of the whole world in 3 days, how many times are you going to pay for your own personal sin yourself while you're there? Zillions and zillions and zillions of times.
I mean, there's no end.
There's no end, right? So you're going to pay the full blunt of your sin's price over and over and over again forever. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound like a deal to me. That's not a deal I want to take anybody up on.
Nope.
There's no exit. There's no exit. There's no way around it.
No.
There's no benefits. There's no weekends. There's no holidays off. There's no... I mean, you're going to pay this price.
That's just like working for yourself.
Yeah.
Do
no
what?
Days.
Like working for yourself.
You're working for yourself.
No days off.
No days off.
Yeah.
Long hours. No benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Just like the community says, no outlet.
I've done it for what?
Yeah.
Almost 50, 47 years.
Yeah. It's tough to do.
Tough to do.
Yeah, and to think the working conditions in hell are a lot worse than what you had.
I know. Oh, I wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I enjoyed every minute of it.
Good. That's a good way to leave a job.
Oh, yeah.
It is to say you enjoyed every minute of it. Okay. So it's up to you. You're the one that makes the decision. You're the one that decides whether you're going to receive Christ or not. Strongly recommend that people do.
Oh, yes.
Right?
God says you have free will.
Yeah. You have free will.
Absolutely.
It's on you. The door's been opened. It's up to you to go through. And nobody can go through for you.
No.
You know, no matter how much some person may love you, they cannot receive Christ for you.
No.
You, each person does it themselves. Wow. That puts a big burden on each individual person.
Well, it should.
Yeah.
It really should, because once we hear the word, it's your responsibility. Either you're going to receive or reject.
That's it.
And if you're smart, you'll receive. But as a lot of people say, now I've got plenty of time, I don't want to get into that.
You don't know how much time you got.
They say, they'll say, oh, I don't want to get into that. It's a bunch of, you know, they're all hypocrites or they're...
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Say there are a bunch of hypocrites in church. Okay.
Better off going to church with them, going to hell with them.
You got that right. You know, are all churches perfect, full of perfect people?
I don't think
no.
there's any perfect
If you
church.
Find a perfect church, don't go to it because you're on it. It's that simple, right?
but it's true, right? There are no perfect people in the church.
No.
So, but there are lots of people who are trying to be perfect.
Right.
Sure.
They're growing in Christ. They're trying to learn the things of Christ. So each day, they're better than they were the day before.
And there's a lot of people to think they are.
Yeah, there's a lot of people to think they're perfect already.
I'd much rather come in a group like this and go to a big church.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot more
they
enjoyable.
They get too big for me.
Yeah, me too.
And you show up in your sneakers and everything, and everybody's comfortable, and, mm-hmm. you know.
And the word's still the word.
Yeah, and the word's still a word. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
And we still have a job to go out and spread the word, too.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
right. That's right.
Yeah.
But it does, I mean, when you look at the places where Jesus taught, there were no, you know, clothing requirements or anything like that.
Yep.
I mean...
No, they didn't preach the clothesline.
They didn't preach the clothesline or anything. People showed up, they taught them.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. But it goes back to each individual person. I mean, if you're not willing to do it, nobody else can do it for you.
You know, that I was thinking when you said that, it's not a lonely decision either, because he's right there.
He's right there ready for you.
Listening for every word.
That's right. You don't have to go any place in particular. Wherever you're at, right this minute, you can receive Christ.
Yep.
Right now.
How many stories have you heard? People sitting on a bar stool receiving Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And solid in sin.
That's right.
I found out that when I used to pool a lot, that I found out that there was more people talking about Jesus and the religion and the gin mill than there was any place else I went. You sit up there and they start talking about it. They just start talking about going to church when they was a kid or something. You know? They said, well, what stopped you? Well, I don't know. What stopped you? Oh, I don't know. I just want to have some fun. Well, I did too. You know? But you'd start to, it would, so many times, conversation at church come up at gym mill. I said, don't go on it. Mom and Dad, won't you leave me alone and let me get drunk one night without this conviction? You know that grandmama praying for you, or yeah, aunts, uncles, or somebody's praying for you, because it would stir it up and you'd start talking about it. I mean, you would think that'd be the last place in the world anybody would talk about.
Not really.
Religion, yeah. but they do. They do. And I mean a lot.
Yeah. I heard a while back about a lady, and I don't even remember what town this was in or what her name was or anything, but I remember hearing a story about a lady who used to go to the bars, the Christian lady, who used to go to the bars, all these hardcore biker bars and stuff like that, mm-hmm, all tough guys, right? And she would go in there and she'd witness to all the people in the bar.
A lot of people thought that, yeah.
You know, they actually go in there and go person by person around here, witness and lead people to Christ in these biker bars and stuff like that. And, of course, someone like that, you know, they really don't beat them up or anything. If they really get mad at you, they just sort of push you away,
yeah,
right? Especially an old lady, right? So she had pretty much freedom to just go in and say whatever she wished, right? Yeah. Because they wouldn't pick on her because she's so small and, you know, and everything. But if a guy went in there and tried to do it, he'd probably get beat up.
Yeah,
he'd get thrown out.
Yeah. So she had a, you know, because of who she was.
She had an advantage.
She had an advantage, right?
Well,
and she took full advantage of it.
Yeah.
Still took a lot of nerve.
Still took a lot of nerve. I'm not saying it was anything short of a lot of nerve.
Well, there was a lot of the traveling preachers that when they went to Western towns and all, they would, after the gin mill closed on Saturday night, they'd go in there and clean all up, an old church on Sunday.
Yeah. Yep.
And a lot of those gin mills end up closing up because so many people was getting saved.
Yep.
That they close the gin mill down.
Yep.
Well, that place we got saved, they had to sweep it out.
I bet they swept it out after we got saved, too. A lot of sin there then.
The Grange.
Left there.
What was it, a Grange?
Something
like that. And they had parties in there. And
oh, it was just a little one-room hall.
Yeah.
You're not talking about Piccadilly.
No, we're talking about a place over in Northeast Maryland.
Okay.
Or what Northeast was?
Bayview,
Maryland.
Okay.
Well, that one town in California where I was at, the only thing was there was dance halls and churches. They had a grocery store, of course.
Oh.
But you would see the board holes in the because I was in the one store, they showed where they would get so rowdy, the miners and all them. Yeah. They were just shooting the guns, and they left the bore holes in the original buildings where you can see.
I had no business
and it was really neat how they left all the original stuff in a lot of these old towns that you go into, you know. And I thought, dance halls and churches. I said, that sounds funny, doesn't it?
Yep.
Dance hall and I thought, is that right? Is
probably
that
the women went to church, women and kids, and
dance hall.
I don't know.
It was interesting.
Yep.
Well, the Wild Wild West was the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, it was the Wild Wild West, that's for sure.
But it took the Wild Wild Easterns to go there and make it the Wild Wild West.
Well, that's true. That's true.
where the people came from, right?
I think I told you before, but when Shirley and I went to Hawaii, we visited Pearl Harbor, you know, buildings and stuff. And the buildings where the Japs come in and they strafe the beaches and the buildings and everything, they left the bullet holes.
Really?
In the buildings, yeah. When we were there.
For a reminder, probably.
Yeah, this is when Charlie was living up there.
Don't forget.
Along maybe 20 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
We went with the Kenny Martin's dad, Alan Martin.
And
Alan. His dad was with us, mm-hmm, and he took us. He was retired Air Force. He got on the base,
mm-hmm,
and they took us around and showed us the buildings. Where the Zeros come down and machine gunned the buildings and everything, and it said, and they still had the bullet holes in the buildings. They left them there.
I didn't realize that.
I don't know whether they're still there or not, but that's what they were.
They probably are, as a reminder.
Yeah. Really.
That got there.
The buildings, when you leave holes like that all through a building, the old water gets in there, and after a while,
in Hawaii. It's already there. It's humid.
Yeah.
It's just a sticky inside of that.
Yeah.
That's its air.
I tell you, it's close to 8 o'clock. I'm going to, since we're right out of chapter break here, I think we're going to stop there.
Okay. We'll start on 6.
We'll start on 6.
Okay.
Okay. But let's close in prayer here and let's give an invite to the people who might be hearing this. Father, we thank you for bringing us all together. And Father, we open the door for all the people who may be hearing this tape. Father, and anybody who wants to come to Christ, Father, we invite them to pray along with us. And Father, we thank you for forgiving us of our sins, for opening up the doors of our hearts, that through you we receive a greater walk in Christ and a close walk with Jesus. And Father, we invite you into our hearts, your spirit, and every part of you, that we can grow past where we are to where we can be in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Greatest gift on earth.
Yep.
Yep.
This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.